It's a new day as we move through our new world dealing with the coronavirus pandemic. And we're always grateful to hear what the experts have to share about the latest information concerning this world health crisis. So we're checking in once again with Dr. Sandro Sinti, infectious disease specialist at Michigan Medicine. Thanks for joining us. Hopefully you're holding up okay through all this.
Thank you. Doing okay.
Is there any way you can quantify where we are in this process right now in terms of, is it better or worse, or is it happening as we thought it would?
I think we are going as expected in terms of the increase in the number of cases. So we're still seeing increases, and I do think it's correct that we'll probably see continued movement up the curve in the next week to week and a half, for sure.
We're hearing it may peak at the end of the month, early May. Do you have any predictions along those lines?
It's a little bit difficult to tell because we're still trying to see what the mitigation strategies, the social distancing and the community mitigation does to this curve, and it could flatten it out. We are probably close to 2 to 3 weeks from when those started, so we should start to see some of the response to that coming up.
So to make it clear to people listening, they should still be staying home and staying inside as much as possible.
Absolutely. I think that we have to do that until, I'm not sure how long we're going to need to do that. The prediction is at least for the next 1 month to 2 months where we would have to continue these mitigation strategies to prevent further spread, because if we just start suddenly going out again and doing business as usual, you could get a second bump if this, say this did go over the top and then we started to get a decrease in cases. That could come right back up when people start to do things as they normally would. So people should continue to follow the governor's recommendations, shelter in place. When they go out, I've become a convert on wearing masks in public. I think it is wise for people to do that, to protect themselves, protect others mostly if they're starting to get sick, because we're seeing more evidence that people are spreading this when they're asymptomatic or what we call pre-symptomatic, right before they get sick. So the masks will help in that way. It will also help keep people from touching their face and their eyes and nose, and that will be helpful also to prevent spread.
I was going to ask you that. So you are now on the wear the mask bandwagon.
I'm feeling a little more like that, and I think after we get through this, which we will, I think we have to have a discussion about whether this should be a strategy for managing this in the future. And we do see this happening in some of the Asian countries, South Korea, Japan, where people will start wearing masks, and it's socially acceptable to do that, and we may need to get to that point here. So those are discussions that will go on. I'm not basing this on any new evidence, so there's no scientific evidence that this works, but I think we have to acknowledge that there may be some benefit here. I do think that we need to keep the surgical masks and the N95 masks for our healthcare workers because they need those, but I think people using their own masks or creating masks is probably wise.
How are things going inside Michigan Medicine? Are you at capacity, above capacity? Are you able to keep up with the influx of patients?
Well, so at the moment, we are keeping up. We are seeing continued increase. We expect that we will be full in the next week to two, and are trying to prepare for that. We know that the Detroit hospitals have now been at capacity, and many of the surrounding hospitals are also at or over capacity. So we are planning and moving forward as if we will be also.
Every day we get an update of how many people have been infected. That includes the fatalities. As an infectious disease expert, but someone who's a part of our world and walking and living in the same society we're living in, is there benefit to pointing out how many people have actually survived the coronavirus?
Yes, well, most people survive it. We have to acknowledge that we all have to be aware of. The survival rate is well over 95%. Now, people that end up in the hospital, they have a lot of problems once they get into the hospital. We're seeing patients in the hospital progress, become more sick, end up in the intensive care unit, end up on ventilators. So that portion of the population is struggling, and we're trying to help that portion of the population. But everybody else, and that's probably 95 to 99% of the population, will be fine with this. You look at mortality rates, it might sometimes look like the mortality rates are going up, but we're not able to test everybody. So we don't. You really need to know, for the true mortality rate, you really need to know everybody that's infected. And there are so many people out there that have really mild disease, who have sometimes no symptoms, and we have no way of testing those because we don't have enough capability to test. We're only testing the sickest folks, the people who come into the outpatient clinics and people who come into the hospital. And that's about all we can test at this point.
Ultimately, my position is not to alarm people, but I do want to ask you, since you are an infectious disease expert at Michigan Medicine, what percentage of us will get this virus? Is there a number you can put on that, a percentage?
It's really, we can't. I think what you can say is, if this was an unfettered, if we didn't put in control measures, if we didn't put in mitigation measures, that over 50 to 70% of the population could become infected. Now, again, that doesn't mean that these people will be in the hospital, and most people that are infected have very mild to no symptoms. But if you let this go, you'll have a large percentage of the population infected, and then the older and more immunocompromised folks in that population will end up in the hospital and overwhelm the hospital. So fewer people, if we put these mitigation processes in place, so if you institute, if you continue social distancing and if you continue community mitigation strategies, hand washing, now mask wearing, you can bring down the number of people and the percent of the population that gets infected by a lot, 50 to 70%. You could bring it down, you could bring it down to maybe 15 to 20% of the population getting infected. And that's what we would like to do until a vaccine is available, until we have more testing to be able to really identify those that are infected in the community.
I'm hearing 18 months is how long it will take to get a vaccine. Do you think we can speed that up at all, or is that a realistic expectation?
I think we have to expect that it will. Developing vaccine is a long, arduous process, and even though there are likely people working on this 24 hours a day, it will likely take that long. It's possible that it could go a little bit more quickly, but not likely.
How about some sort of treatment? Is there any progress being made along those lines?
Well, there are several different medications being tried, and all of those are being studied. It's very difficult to tell in the heat of the moment whether these are working, and so I think anybody that comes out there to say these are definitely working is, they're not. We don't know that for sure. We need to do randomized controlled trials. We need to look back at the treatments that we did on our patient populations within the hospital before we can make any of those comments. I think it's dangerous to say that they work, because then there's an expectation that everybody will get them, and it's not clear at all that they do work. And some of them may be harmful, so we have to be careful.
There are some people who are looking back to feeling very ill, perhaps in late December or early January, and thinking, I already had this. Is that a possibility?
It's a very good question, and it's almost impossible to know. Back in December, this was just starting in China, so I don't think that people that were sick then could have had COVID-19. It certainly is possible going into January, maybe early February, but even that would be a bit of a stretch. I think in the future, we will have antibody tests, and we'll be able to test people, and we can tell them at that time whether or not they had it. But at the moment, nobody can tell for sure unless they get tested.
So bottom line, moving forward, always looking for the best information we can share. What do you want to tell people listening right now to Dr. Sandro Cinti, infectious disease specialist at Michigan Medicine? How do we continue to avoid getting this and keep other people from getting it as well?
My advice would be to continue to listen to our governor in Michigan. She's done a great job in getting people to socially distance and to protect themselves from this. And I know it's going to be difficult when the curve starts to come down and we feel like we're coming out of this, that people will want to start getting out there and doing the things they were doing before. But I think we all have to be patient and wait until we get the all clear before we start going back to our normal activities. That would be the thing I would say. I do want to stress that we will come out of this okay. We are going to have, fortunately, some tragic cases, but most of the population will come out of this alive and well. So we should know that and keep realizing that.
We'll come out alive and well as long as they take the advised precautions.
Yes, I think that's right. We need to continue to follow those.
Dr. Sandro Cinti, you take care of yourself as well. We know you're on the front lines of all of this, infectious disease specialist at Michigan Medicine. And come back anytime. We're always grateful to hear your input and advice. Take care.
Bye now.